It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida Podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
Nate, what's new?
That's not how you say it.
See how I mixed it up this week?
Say it right.
I'm not going to say anything until you say it right.
What's new, Nate?
There we go. Well, this is my last episode being recorded in the state of Florida.
At the moment.
Because I am moving to Georgia.
Tomorrow. Today. The day this airs.
Theoretically, yes. I'm moving to Georgia.
I can't.
You're not ready for it?
Mm-mm.
You're not good?
No, I mean, we can keep recording. I'm just sad.
It is. No, I'm sad about it, but I'm also excited. It's a kind of a big step in my life. So I'm moving to Georgia, but that doesn't mean...
To the ATL.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to be off the podcast.
No. Nate will still be the co-host of the podcast. On the reg. And... Do people still say that on the reg?
Who's reg?
On the reg. There's some questions from the audience. Are you going to become a rapper in the ATL?
No.
What would you put the percentage chance you becoming a rapper at?
About 0%.
Okay. So you're moving up there for a job, and that's where your girlfriend actually lives.
So my girlfriend lives.
And because you're a Georgia Bulldogs fan.
Yes.
So hopefully University of Florida will get their act together and you can move back. Or FSU. Sorry, FSU.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm a Florida State fan as well because that's where my brother and sister went to college. But anyway, yeah, I'm moving up to the Atlanta area, and I'll be recording the podcast from there.
Remotely.
The miracle of technology.
Technology is a wonderful thing. If you listen to the podcast, you won't even know. You won't even notice.
You won't even know. You'll be recording from the ATL CBFL studios.
That's right, the CBFL.
Now, folks, here's Nate live on location. In the ATL.
What's new, Travis?
It's in a similar bittersweet vein as a father. My daughter has 9 days of school left.
Wow.
And she's done. She's a high school graduate. This is the saddest episode you've ever recorded, isn't it, Emily?
Yeah, I think I want out.
So, yeah, she's got 9 days of school left and she's done. So that makes me feel pretty old. I'm excited for her. Big future ahead, but not okay with the little girl that I was driving to kindergarten graduating from high school.
Right.
That feels rough.
Yeah. No, I understand that.
But kudos to you, Dad, because she's a cool person.
She has her moments.
Yeah.
Love you if you're listening to this. What is new with you, Emily?
What's new with me is we have a new face here in the podcast studio. Our friend Austin Warbington is here.
A Warbs.
What up?
Warby, as they call him on the street.
Is that what they call you on the street?
It's my street name.
Is that your rapper name?
Warby. If you moved to the ATL, would you go by Warby and be a rapper?
Well, you'd have to be like, I'd have to be Little Warby.
Little Warby.
Lil Warby. Yeah, yes. Warby. That's the new Warby. Thing.
With the apostrophe.
Austin is, we've known each other a few years, and he has mated for me on, not mated with me.
No, we don't mate.
Because that is an uncomfortable statement to make. But he's made it for me on a number of duck charters and hopefully tarpon charters this summer. We brought him in because we needed another voice this week because we're doing a draft.
Another draft.
Oh, we need some draft music to play right there.
We do need draft
NFL
music.
We do.
Just use the NFL's music and they would not care?
Totes.
This draft, outstanding as it will be, is the live bait draft. We are going to draft live baits.
Live baits.
Now, we need to go over the rules.
Sure.
Okay, Austin's been doing his homework. The rules are as follows. If a bait gets picked, you can no longer pick that bait. That's the only rule, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Is there not a game on the foot?
Oh!
That was amazing.
Oh my gosh, what's wrong with you?
All right.
I don't have a beep big enough for that.
So we do have a game is the foot.
A game is the foot.
A game is the foot.
And we went to the online edition of Florida Sportsman for this version.
Okay.
This is from the Florida Sportsman website, their cooking section. So Nate can see these.
I can.
And Austin and Emily, you're welcome to weigh in on these. I want to know which of these recipes is fake.
Which of these recipes was not on the website?
Correct.
Or fake.
How many of them are fake?
So you can't tell us that because last week
that.
Or 2 weeks, you know, the
oh,
other
there
week.
There was none.
There was right.
No fake ones.
Okay.
So he could pull another fast one on us right here.
So I'm going to read these as they are spelled, because the spellings that you can see are straight from the website. Shrimp au naturel. That is N-A-T-U-R-E-L.
Okay, that's number one. That's number two.
Shrimp and crab meat sundaes.
That's disgusting.
That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
Number three is gator in dattle.
Dattle?
Marinara sauce.
Dattil?
Dattil marinara sauce.
Dattil.
What?
Which till?
Dattil.
Trout amandine.
Shut up.
Second best clam chowder.
What? Second best?
Second best clam chowder.
What?
That's what I make.
And grits.
Just grits.
Just grits.
No.
Come on. The instructions for grits are on the box.
Which? No self-respecting Southerner would cook instant grits.
No. Are you kidding me?
All right. Which one of those is fake?
God, they're just all terrible.
Shrimp au naturel.
Au naturel. That one's real.
It's got to be real, right? Because I brought over the misspelling.
Yes.
Shrimp and crab meat sundaes?
That's just gross enough to be real.
I hope that's fake.
That sounds terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. You think it's real?
There's no way.
I'm going to go real.
I'm going fake.
It's real.
Oh,
nice.
Gator in dattil marinara sauce.
I'm going to go real because I don't know if you can make up that word.
Right. It's obviously real because I don't know what a dattil is. I wouldn't have made that up. Trout amandine.
What in the, what is that?
Well, I'll tell you because I Googled it.
Okay.
Because I thought maybe this dude, maybe he knows a lot about cooking and this is another thing like almondine.
Right.
Because it was trout almondine in the picture with almonds on top.
Okay.
And I was like, well, maybe that's another word for it. An amandine is a chocolate cake. It's like a German chocolate cake or Dutch chocolate cake or something.
So it was spelled that way.
Yes. Multiple times.
Pulitzer Prize winning.
Pulitzer Prize winning.
Journalism.
Yes.
That's real.
That is real.
That's real.
Second best clam chowder
real.
Or grits? Which one is real and which one is fake?
It's so absurd, but I'm going grits real. Second best fake.
They're both real. I didn't put a fake one in.
Oh again. My gosh, you stop with this. Trickery.
There is a recipe for grits.
Is it cheese grits or just...
They do add cheese in the recipe.
Okay.
But the title of the recipe is grits.
Just so grits.
I'll make sure to put a link to that in the show notes.
Please do.
Like, I can't stop shaking my head. I'm just sitting here shaking
like,
my head.
What?
Which makes for outstanding radio.
I know. Yeah. I'm really good at this.
Austin, here's a pro tip. People can't see you.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Second best clam chowder?
I know this.
Why is it second?
That was actually the best one, and he named it second best. These weren't all the same guy, but he named it second best because he says nothing can beat the best at this restaurant in Cedar Key. Tony's, I think, is the name of it.
Oh.
Which is true. Tony's clam chowder is legit.
I've never had it.
So.
Tony
has done it again. And all the people from the 80s recognize that and no one else. As I alluded to earlier before realizing a game was the foot, it is now time for our live bait draft. Much ballyhooed. How appropriate is that?
Ballyhooed.
A ballyhooed live bait draft? Come on.
That's pretty good. Come on. I'm going to give it to you. Pretty good.
We have done a lot of drafts on the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The first was episode number 3, the duck species draft.
That was outstanding.
That was
which
good
was
I won that.
One of our most listened to drafts. We have done the shotgun draft was episode 20.
Hunter Jackson in the house.
That's right.
Yep. And we haven't done another one. So this is our
We did the boat song.
Oh,
draft.
The boat songs draft. How could I forget? That was episode 26.
Which Nate, I think, actually won that. And you know that pains me because I think I win everything, but I think Nate won that.
That's the one that we have the Spotify playlist for, which is in the show notes for episode
We initially
26.
Thought Kaylee won, but going back, no, not so much.
History has given us a different perspective.
Hindsight's 20/20, right?
Yeah, I don't want to be too like poetic about it, but she crashed bad.
Yikes. All right, so today's draft is the live bait draft.
Correct.
Live bait being bait that is alive.
Correct.
That we use for fishing. The order, which has been predetermined by drawing, is Austin, then Nate, then Emily, then Travis.
You can call me Little Warb.
Little Warby.
Little Warby.
Little Warby.
You're up, son.
Before we get into that, I do have a question for Austin. Hmm. Have you ever shot a merganser?
We have not told this story yet, have we?
No, but I'm just, have you ever shot one?
I feel like I'm being set up.
You are.
I know. Go ahead, Travis. Let's hear the story.
How many, I'm just asking how many. I'm sure it's going to come up in this episode somewhere. How many mergansers did you kill with one shot on a trip this past season?
Almost the limit.
Yeah, I think you killed four with one shot.
That's pretty cool.
That's a heck of a shot.
That's great. Let me just tell you.
I was screaming, "Don't shoot! Don't shoot! Don't shoot!" And then they lined up perfectly, and he dropped all of them. He shot the entire flock.
Hey, if you're gonna shoot a merganser,
you have
the way
to shoot four, right?
That's the way you got
to
do it.
Well, yeah, I saw the opportunity and I took it.
Nothing wrong with
you
that.
You quit at that point, right?
I was done. I didn't shoot another merganser the whole year.
Anyway, I just had to give some context for the level of outdoorsman we're talking about here.
Yes.
Obviously, that qualifies you to be in a live bait draft.
For sure.
Your merganser harvesting abilities.
Okay, so first round pick. This is a big pick. This is an important pick. Austin.
Are you prepared?
Little Warby.
Little Warby.
I think I'm ready.
This is like a quarterback,
all right?
This is like a big time.
Hit us with it.
Well, my first round pick is definitely going to be the pilchard, the white bait.
The greenback.
The greenback.
The scaled sardine.
Yeah. Razor belly. Whatever you want to call it.
The technical term is scaled sardine.
How do you feel about it?
That's a pretty solid pick.
Is that where you were leaning for your first pick?
No. I got another one for my first pick.
I just don't know how you don't pick that as your first.
That was my second pick.
That is definitely top three.
I mean, for sure.
I don't feel like it is the best bait out there.
You can catch tarpon to catfish with it.
It is the most demanded bait out there.
Absolutely. It is the most sought after bait.
It's the most overcaught bait.
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's true. I don't know. I don't know if it's
it was
round
also,
one, pick one worthy.
It was also not my first pick. However, I am not going to fault you for it.
No, absolutely
the reason
not.
I'm not is
it's a good pick.
Because I will spend every day in May, June, and July trying to obtain that bait.
Absolutely.
And I'll be pissed about it the whole time. But I will.
I always try to catch bait, and I'm mad if I don't.
Yep.
So.
Can I tell you what I don't like about this bait? They seem a little delicate.
They're
like,
not as delicate as another bait that we may talk about.
Yes,
later.
Right. For sure.
Like, I'm not a man. I do not have man hands or man hand strength, but I generally tear those things apart when I'm trying to put a hook in them.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And
you got to hit them a little more delicately.
You get
like
scales
you're baiting
all over
a
you.
Butterfly.
You do well, get those scales are, all over
no,
you.
Not from these.
No.
That's true.
Those are from Spanish sardines.
Yes.
Or thread fins.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
So you don't get scales when you handle those at all?
Not from scaled sardines.
You get a little bit, but not much. Like not like you get them just everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't like even the little bit.
Oh well, then
it's gross.
Can't help you.
That's
sorry.
The glitter of the sea.
That's right.
We should have put that in the Urban Dictionary last week.
Oh my gosh,
glitter of the live well glitter.
Okay.
All right, Nate.
I'm gonna go with the shrimp.
Dang it!
Come on. I mean, like.
Obviously.
You can literally everything eat shrimp.
Everything eats a shrimp.
Everything eats a shrimp.
That would have been my pick.
I literally eat shrimp.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
We eat shrimp.
If it goes poorly, you can eat the bait.
That was my keep a couple of weeks ago. Where some skewered shrimp we had on the grill. So, yeah, I mean, it's just you can't beat it.
Would the term ubiquitous be correct? There is it the most ubiquitous bait on the planet? Shrimp.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't really know what that word means, but
I don't
it feels
either.
Right
that's,
to me.
That's a big
good.
Word.
Sounds good. The thing about shrimp though is you can buy them. You usually can't buy white bait.
You don't have to throw a net.
Don't get the boat all dirty.
You can buy white bait now in Tampa, right?
Yes.
And what was it? $50 for three scoops?
$25 a scoop, and it's about 200 to 300 baits per scoop.
Wow,
that's a pretty good deal.
That is a really good deal, especially
it's a racket too.
I bet it is a racket. But the other thing about shrimp is when they're running, you can just scoop them out of the water and use them.
Net them yourself.
Yep. There's a story of a fishing buddy of ours, when the shrimp were running real hard, threw a cast net out of the boat and pulled up about 600 shrimp.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
I was there for that. And they actually would come to chum, like greenback chum.
Shrimp.
Shrimp would group up by the chum, and he would cast net them by the billions.
Southwest Florida?
Yes.
No way.
Yes, and as quickly as he would bring them in, we would put them off the back on hooks and slaughter
catch
the snook.
Yeah,
because they could not distinguish between which. I mean, there were just so many shrimp running; it was insane. It's the most I haven't seen it like that. It was probably 20 years ago, and I've never seen it like that again. The other thing about shrimp, here's the problem with shrimp that I think greenbacks get you. Everything eats a shrimp, which is good
and also bad.
But you have a 6-inch pinfish can go through a dozen shrimp.
Oh, absolutely.
Lizard fish,
crabs.
An overly aggressive oyster could take out a shrimp.
Yes, yes. No, that is true. That is the downside to shrimp. You got to deal with the pinfish and
And the sharking.
The what?
Like, you know, when a shrimp, like, sharks you with their shark.
No. Wait a minute.
What's it called?
No. When they don't stick you with their head thing, they stick you with your tail. When they pop you.
They have, like, a unicorn thing.
It's definitely their tail.
That's not what gets you. The tail is what gets you.
Oh, well, I thought it was their head. Either way, I have
and
a
what
very...
And what do they do to you?
They shark you. They go...
Shark?
A shrimp sharks you.
I don't make up the rules, man. That's just what they do. All right. So when I bait a hook with a shrimp, I have to, like, get it out of the net, and then I lay it on the deck of the boat, and I pin it down sideways where it can't shark me, and then I stick the hook through it.
You count to three and then stick the hook through it?
Yeah.
And on a busy day of fishing, she can go through three or four shrimp.
A day? That's not true.
Oh, man. They don't shark you as much after they're dead from laying on the deck for 10 minutes for you to bait them. I did used to fish with a guy who I won't say his name on the podcast, but he would cover their eyes with a towel. So they didn't look
what?
At him.
A grown man.
Grown-ass no man. Way. And he'd be at the other end of the boat, and I'd look back there, and he'd have a towel covering the shrimp's eyes.
That's right. A solid move.
Yeah. Hey.
I may have mentioned it.
The best thing.
Yeah.
So, great. Like, when a shrimp or a shark attacks somebody, do you call it shrimping?
It's like driving on a parkway and parking on a driveway.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. You're up. It's my turn. All right. This might be a shocking pick, but I feel like nostalgia. I feel like this calls to your childhood.
Okay.
My first round draft pick, because you losers took my first two picks, is worms.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good pick.
Digging in the dirt as a kid by the lake, earthworms. Throw them on your hook, fishing in the lake. Big time, right?
Do you have a specific type of worm?
You know, there's like
because
seven
I've
different
got
species.
Different worms on. Like, I feel like you're going broad.
What are you,
it's
red
like
worms?
You just drafted
or
all the wide receivers, and
wigglers?
I want you to pick Randy Moss.
What are
Moss.
We doing here?
I'm triggered. I'm triggered by this conversation. No, an earthworm isn't a species.
There's I don't even know what the term is. There's flavors of earthworm.
Different,
but they're flavors to the fish.
Okay.
So red crawlers,
red wriggler,
red. Ugh.
You can tell none of us have bass fished in a or you know whatever you do,
shelf brim fish or whatever. There's several different types of earthworms.
The two that I distinguished were, and so you could pick one, red wrigglers, which are the little ones that you'd catch like panfish with,
right?
And night crawlers, which are the big, big ones that you'd catch like a catfish with.
That's what I'm thinking of, the night crawlers, the big, fat, slobby
big
ones.
Big, fat ones.
All right, that's a good pick.
That's a good pick.
Thank you.
Solid. And I do like the nostalgia. When you go out after the rain and they'd be on the sidewalk and you could pick them up. Did you ever do that?
No, dude. I had a shovel and a pail. And I would walk down to the lakefront and dig in the dirt till I found worms.
My great-grandfather used to have an old refrigerator in his yard that was full of soil.
My grandfather had one, too.
And it was also
laying on its side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Laying on its side. And you could go out there and rake it up a little bit.
It was a worm farm.
Pull as many as you wanted.
We would take, like, country crock buckets and, like, poke holes in them and fill them with dirt and put worms in them so the worms could live.
So big time. And you can keep them in the refrigerator and they'll get lethargic.
Our kids don't do worms like that.
Well, the first time I took Olivia fishing with worms, she cried when I wanted to dump them out because she thought she got to keep the worms.
Aww.
So I did actually keep them for a month or two in the truck.
That's
and
gross.
Then I dumped them out. They had returned from whence they came.
Ashes to ashes. Yeah. Dust to dust.
I feel like today's generation would you have to have like a $40 Yeti bucket to keep
a worm
their worms
bucket.
In.
Yeti should come out with.
That's what
this is a worm bucket.
Yes.
I'll contact them tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be big time. All right. So let me regroup for a second here. We don't have shrimp anymore.
We don't have shrimp. We don't have white greenbacks. Bait. We don't have night crawlers.
Scratch that one off your list.
No pressure, Trav, but we need
your this
first
is
pick.
A big pick, right? This is my first pick.
Big time.
So I'm going mullet because that's my favorite bait.
It's pretty solid.
And
live?
Live mullet.
Yes. Finger mullet.
Oh, yeah, you do like the finger mullet. You do.
I love a finger mullet.
He will spend hours trying
not
to catch
not a hog
them.
Leg.
Well, a hog leg wouldn't fit into live bait.
Would it?
Yeah, no, it would. Because you cut it up. It's dead.
No.
Its head off, it's no longer alive.
You haven't seen Jeff Maggio.
That's correct.
I have seen Run That Dog, but I'm saying I don't fish with
no, we don't really fish with a mullet. Lot of hog legs.
I fish with...
I think that's more of like a Keys thing. Bridge tarpon fishing.
Yeah. Nuts
well, even for me, for tarpon fishing, I'll chunk them. But I don't use the whole thing. But I'm talking about a finger mullet, like a 6 to 10 inch long.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you get good at it, you can keep him right at the surface. He'll stay right at the surface, and you can steer him under a dock. And that is so money. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do.
That's like 100% success rate.
If you can fill a live well up with a bunch of finger mullet, I'm bringing fish home.
Well,
I'm not bringing fish home, but I'm taking some pictures with some big fish.
Big fish.
It's a sure thing. Finger mullet, number one pick. I just put the beat down on all of you guys.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that wraps up round one. We've had the greenbacks are gone, shrimp are gone, nightcrawler worms are gone, and finger mullet. And Austin, you're up for round two.
I got to start it off again?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a predetermined order. This is professional drafting.
Okay. Oh, okay. So my next pick is definitely going to be a grunt.
Oh, God. That was
there is one. Nothing better than when you pull your cast net in the boat and you hear.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Because you know.
How do they sound again?
Can we make that a ringtone?
Sounds like a phone vibrating.
There is no better. No better.
It is. Because you know you're going to catch a big snook on it. There's no doubt. Or a good solid red.
You want to offer commentary here?
No, I mean, I've seen more grunts get eaten quicker than any other bait ever by large fish. Like, it's just like you put it under a dock or something, and it's like 3 seconds. Boom.
It's like they get mad at them.
Do you think it's because of the drumming?
I don't know what it is. I really think they hate them. Like, I think it's like a hate crime that gets committed under the pilot.
So it's like
Can I say that?
Stay woke.
Stay woke.
No, that's a solid pick.
That's a great pick.
And the other thing, you catch them in the net?
Yeah.
Do you ever fish for them?
By the channel markers. Yeah. Sometimes.
Like with some squid and some little brim hooks?
Yeah.
I've done that before a snook charter and gotten 2 or 3 dozen hand-sized grunts.
Like good ones, huh?
Dude.
We're not talking about white grunts, right? We're talking about a grunt.
We're talking about
blue stripes.
Bait grunts, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Making sure we're on the same subject.
Yeah, not the ones you get offshore.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a Key West grunt.
Yes. No.
That's what we call them.
Yeah.
Not one of those. Although I have used one of those before. Is that legal? Can I say that on
yes,
the show?
Yes, I believe you can.
Okay. It doesn't matter. I'm not editing it out. But
you can keep them to eat.
I've caught a big snook on those before. I'm talking about the little gray ones, like what you're talking about.
Yes.
It's an awesome pick.
All right, Nate, round two.
Well, since my round two pick was taken, I'm gonna go pinfish.
Oh,
that was my next one.
Yeah, so you know, pinfish again, it's like a shrimp. Almost everything eats pinfish, especially you get big snook on the big ones that are the size of your hand. Redfish like them, trout, big trout like them, tarpon like them. Like, they're just a great bait fish, and they're hardy. They last forever. You can put them in a bait pen for months.
On a slow day, you can get by with like 3 pinfish.
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah,
like 45 million cast.
The only thing I don't like about pinfish is they will put holes in your hand.
They will. The other thing I like about pinfish is even the little ones. Like your dad always called them the silver dollar size.
Yeah.
Like for trout fishing.
Oh, money.
That's hard to beat. Or redfish if you can put that up under the mangroves, because you don't have to worry about junk fish.
Right.
Because it is a junk fish. Junk fish don't eat junk fish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, they draw the line somewhere. So no, that's a solid pick.
Yeah.
Pinfish, shrimp are my number one bait. Pinfish are probably my number two. Like, that's a.
Yeah. I mean, you can fish anything.
I guess I just lied because I picked mullet.
You did pick mullet.
So they'd be my number three, but I can't make them my number three because you picked them. Well, jerk.
Sorry.
Yeah. My lineup's all shot to hooey.
What do you got now?
All right. I have next. I think I'm going to choose sand fleas.
Okay.
Oh.
Whoa.
We're pulling full blown pompano whiting.
Okay.
You just went all in.
Come at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can catch redfish and sheep's head on those too.
You can,
if I'm not mistaken.
You can.
So that's my pick. Did you see that one coming?
I did not see that one coming. That is a Boom. Out of left field one, but
he
it's
was
a
not
good
on my,
one.
He was not on my draft board.
He was not on my board either.
Good.
No.
That's a solid pick though.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know how to come back from that.
Yeah, we're
I'll help. Travis, it's your pick next.
Then I am going to go. So I've got a strategy here. I've got a bunch more saltwater ones. But I'm going to go with a big pick and come back freshwater and go shiner.
I knew that was coming.
That
Gold
was on my list.
Shiner.
That was on my list.
Like, I feel like that's the best. When you see like a football team, they pick the best available player. That's what I'm doing right here. I'm picking the best available player.
I would agree that that's the best available.
I'm not drafting based on need. I'm drafting based on talent.
Yeah.
So I'm not a bass fisherman. I would say if I've caught 1,000 bass in my life, 998 of them have been on shiners.
Yes.
And I can think of two that I caught on a tiny torpedo when I was like 8. Anyway, strong pick, right?
Very strong.
Throw shade at that.
It was on my board. They were on my board.
They were.
Yeah.
And under the right circumstances in the Peace River, if you can get a shiner in front of a snook,
they will smoke that sucker.
They will beat it down.
Yeah.
let's not sleep on the fact that it just because it's in freshwater, it means it has to only catch freshwater species.
I feel like that was a good round.
Yeah.
We had some oldie goldies in there. We had some unexpected.
You're like the Mel Kiper Jr.
Yes.
Of ridiculous
Melania.
Outdoor.
Melania.
Okay. Melania is Donald Trump's
Kiper.
Wife. Mel Kiper is a draft analyst on ESPN.
I was trying to give it a more feminine sounding name.
I got you.
I'm like the Melania Kiper.
Okay.
Melania Kiper Jr.
Yeah.
Of outdoor drafts.
It's like such a weird bastardization of so many things in pop culture right now.
Outstanding.
Yes. So now we're ready for round three.
I guess it's on me, huh?
That's you, Lil Orbs.
All right. Well, I'm going to break the rules. Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay. Well,
here's the thing.
Yes.
If you break the rules, what could really happen?
Nothing.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm going to go cut ladyfish.
Oh, that is a line I've thought about walking myself there.
So,
Lil Orbs.
So it would still be alive if you cut it in half. For a little bit, right? So it's still
true.
Be live.
It's true. Have you ever done the whole ladyfish?
Of course.
Okay. I mean, taking a ladyfish is not a bad...
No, not at all.
But I think I see where you're coming from with the cut stuff, because there's only a certain things that'll eat a whole live ladyfish.
Yes. Like
40-inch snook and tarpon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much that's it.
Or bull shark.
Or
sharks.
Sharks.
Correct.
Or maybe goliath.
Yeah.
That's about it.
So there's nothing like sitting in a certain pass.
Jewfish, as we call them on this show.
True.
With a half ladyfish and catching 40-plus-inch snook.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, I'm good with that.
I mean, I do. You obviously lost because you broke the rules.
I did not lose.
No, I'll allow it as a moderator.
Cool. Thank you, Em.
It's true. The commissioner has spoken.
The commish.
Mel Kiper says.
Melania says.
Melania.
Rhonda Goodell.
Rhonda Goodell. That's outstanding.
I don't even know who that is.
All right. Roger Goodell's the NFL commissioner.
Okay.
Yeah. So
it took me a second too.
Yeah. All right. So for my third round pick, right?
Sure.
I'm going to go crabs.
Wait.
Hold on.
Okay.
Wait.
Here's what I'm going to be specific.
Yep.
I'm going to go pass crabs because you can just float the pass and catch them with a net if you want to. Use them as bait. And I know what you're going to say. I can see your wheels turning, Travis.
Yeah, I just dodged a huge bullet right
You did.
There.
You
I
did.
Dodged a huge bullet.
No, you did.
Bullet.
And I kind of did you a favor
you did.
Right there.
You just gave me this draft.
But the thing about pass crabs is you can use them for redfish.
Oh, yeah.
And sheep's head.
Snook. You get this, we've caught a mess out of snook before.
Yeah. And if they're running
flush.
Good. Yeah, absolutely.
Grouper.
Grouper, love them.
Yeah. Bridge.
And then tarpon.
Tarpon,
course.
Obviously.
I mean.
Tarpon candy.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm up next, but I would like to name a different type of crab just to ruin your,
oh,
your situation.
Oh, this is great. Oh, I know exactly where she's going with this.
I don't think you guys do. Can I guess what crab you're going to name?
Yeah, there's only one.
Now,
yeah.
I'll bet you $5 I know what crab you're going to name, and it's not the crab I'm going to name.
It is.
Is it Sebastian from The Little Mermaid? Because I love that crab.
Okay, we're not naming individual crabs.
Oh, okay.
Crab species.
Yeah.
Do you want to take this wager?
No, I don't. Let me just be very clear.
I'm in on this wager.
I don't want to bet against you in this draft. I just wanted to mess you up. But I have a different pick if you'd like to keep crabs.
No, I want you to pick the crab you're going to pick because it's not the crab I'm going to pick.
Okay. I have on my list fiddler crabs.
Oh, my God.
I know what crab you're picking.
Yeah, I do too.
Go ahead. That's a great pick.
That is a very good pick.
Thank you.
We've just come out of fiddler crab season.
We have. Sheep's head season was in full swing about a month ago. Squing. Did I say squing?
Yeah, you did.
A couple weeks ago. And the fiddler crabs were... I love to buy fiddler crabs.
Oh,
I don't like to go dig them.
Can I just pull back the curtain into my brain a little bit?
Yes.
Please.
Every time I think about fiddler crabs, I think about little crabs dressed up as like traditional Jewish people.
Like Fiddler on the Roof.
Like Fiddler on the Roof dancing. What is wrong with
me? It's hard to be Jewish. It's hard to be Jewish at Boca Grande. That's all I know from Fiddler on the Roof.
That's from Community. Sorry.
Can I go ahead and pick the crab that Travis is going to pick next? It's kind of like a one crab, two crab, red crab.
Do you know what crab I'm going to pick?
Absolutely, I know what crab you're going to pick.
We're in a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah.
Blue crabs.
Blue crabs
are, okay, calico crabs, past crabs are the bait that you have. blue crabs are the bait that you want.
I agree with you.
I tend to disagree a little
bit. Hand-sized blue crabs and smaller.
Three inches. That's it.
Yeah. To the size carapace limit.
Yes.
That is, first off, they're like 27 times hardier. I mean, we're talking Spanish sardine versus pinfish type hardiness here. They're bigger, so you can cast them further. They're hardier, and tarpon like to eat them more than anything else. So there, you now have my biggest tarpon secret. Blue crabs. That gave me, I just won.
You always think you won.
I just won because you blew it with pass crabs. You could have had blue crabs and you blew it with pass crabs.
I thought.
And no one saw her coming out of left field with fiddler on the roof and crabs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was round three. We had cut ladyfish and all the crabs. Pass crabs, fiddler crabs, blue crabs. Is this our last round?
Well, I think we're going ladyfish in general. He got ladyfish.
Ladyfish.
And he gets all iterations of ladyfish.
Yeah.
Okay. So but that's not what he said.
Yeah, I know it's not what he said, but that's what happens.
It's like saying you want half of Eli Manning versus all of Eli Manning.
No, here's the way this works. Like, let's go back to the song thing. You couldn't say, I only want the Jimmy Buffett version of...
You take all versions.
Yeah, you get all the versions of it.
All the virgins.
So,
got it.
He doesn't all get all the virgins. He gets all the versions of that bait. Okay. So he's got all the ladyfish.
Got it.
If someone discovers some weird black-striped ladyfish, Austin gets it.
It's done. It's over with.
Okay, so we're on, is this the last round, round four? I think it is.
We'll do round four, and then we do the unrestricted free agents.
I don't have much left in the tank, but I'm going to pick one bait that I guarantee is on none of your list, and there's only one reason why I'm picking it.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
I'll tell you what it is, and then I'll give you the story.
Okay.
Quick story, I promise. I'm going to go needlefish.
Love it.
Okay.
Almost made my list.
Because I was at a certain dock in Englewood last year. I put everything in front of this snook's face. And when I say this snook was 50 inches, this snook was 50 inches. I put mullet, pinfish, white bait, anything I could. He would not eat it. I saw a needlefish swim by and I snagged it, put it in front of his face, and he blew up immediately and broke me off.
I was going to say, do you have a picture of this fish?
No. Because there's not much you can do with a 50-inch snook.
So I'm not sure about the regulations. There's needlefish and there's houndfish, and I think houndfish are protected, but needlefish are not. All I know is a snook will hit a needlefish out of anger.
Yes.
Like they get pissed at needlefish. Yes. Under a light. Was that where that was, or was it under?
It was during daylight.
Was it really?
Yes. It was. It was unreal. Like I could have died right there and been happy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I think that was a terrible pick.
Yeah. I'd like to hear your next pick.
It's a good story though.
Great story. Terrible pick.
Terrible pick.
Yeah.
But you're not up next.
Yeah.
This guy's up next, Nate.
So I'm gonna go ballyhoo for my next one.
That's good.
Yeah. It's more of typically an offshore bait. They also don't last very long in the live well.
No, they will get tangled up in your live well and flood it.
Yeah.
Not that I know.
But if you keep one alive long enough to put it in front of a snook,
it will eat it.
He will eat it.
And if you chunk them,
it's probably because
anything
thinks,
will eat them.
Yeah.
They're super oily.
Oh, yeah.
And ladyfish love, not ladyfish, redfish love them.
It's probably because they think it's a needlefish.
It might be, but.
That's exactly why. Like you're tiptoeing in a needlefish vicinity.
You are. You're just half a bill away.
That's true. That's true.
Okay. My next pick is, I'm going old school again, guys. Crickets.
Nice. Good one.
That's big time.
I like that pick.
Yes.
You catch all sorts of things on crickets.
Oh, there's not a fisherman that grew up fishing in Florida that has not tried to find a cricket in his bedroom after a trip.
Seriously, though. Those things get everywhere.
I love that, though. Like, that just brings me right back to, like, childhood memories of my cousins out, like, trying to catch those mothers.
Oh, Nate,
we'd lose them in the garage and get
in
trouble.
You put them in that stupid cage.
Yes.
Or the little can.
Yeah, or the little can that they're not supposed to be able to get out of, and they're, like, running over the side of it.
Yeah.
And it's essentially a roach, right? Like, you're basically catching roaches and sticking it in
there. Sings the song of its people.
Oh, my gosh. I hate crickets, but I love catching fish on them.
Yeah.
And they will tear up the bluegill.
Oh.
That's like the bluegill bait.
Absolutely.
It's probably the number one. If this was a bluegill bait draft, that would be
top pick.
Top
she could have dropped the mic just then.
This is my last pick. And I am going, see how I build suspense right there?
I'm cutting that pause out.
She's going to cut it out.
I am going squirrel fish.
What's a squirrel fish?
A squirrel fish is the poor man's grunt.
Yeah.
But tarpon, snook, really anything can't stand them. They will crush them.
Hmm.
They look a little bit like almost like a lane snapper, mm-hmm. but they don't get as big. Squirrelfish.
Like a lane snapper?
Yeah.
Who's a lane?
Not L-A-N-E.
Elaine.
Not a lane snapper.
A lane snapper.
A lane snapper. Yes. Not like Elaine. Like
no.
Yeah, they look a little bit like a snapper, but they're not a snapper. I mean, they're probably in the snapper family somewhere.
Okay.
They're called a squirrelfish.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my last pick. That's strong.
That's all right. Yeah, I can go with that.
I'm not impressed by that pick.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Feel like you got
barrel.
To the, yes, for sure, the bottom of the barrel.
Scraping.
What?
I think you lifted up the barrel and looked underneath it for that one.
Yeah. What else did you, so we got to do unrestricted free agents real quick.
Yeah, totes.
What didn't get picked that you had on your list?
Mahara.
Mahara was on my list.
Yes.
And I think that's the same as a squirrelfish or anything else.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those snook baits.
Yes. That if they're not eating anything else, they will.
Yep.
I mean, a snook will eat anything. I've once watched a snook eat a 12-inch mackerel.
Yeah. They'll eat
No
anything.
Lie. And it was 40-plus inch.
Snook. We've caught snook on snapper that we were catching.
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Had the snook hit it on the way in. What else? Anything else?
I mean, y'all covered them all.
I was thinking sand trout.
Yeah.
Sugar trout.
Like silver
yeah.
trout.
Yes.
That's a good one.
That's, yes.
If you can keep them alive, they oh, are yeah. great snook bait.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
That was about it for me.
I have one. I don't know if it's controversial. I was talking to a coworker about it, and he said conch.
Yeah. And
but it's not legal.
Well, it is in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
The first bonefish I ever caught was on a conch.
Yeah. He said like the redfish go completely crazy.
I don't know about redfish.
And sheep's head because it's hard to tear.
We caught the mess out of bonefish on them, and also we ate sea turtle. So yeah. There's a lot of fuzzy gray areas
so, yeah.
in the Bahamas.
I'm saying, like, know your rules and regulations if you're going to use conch as a bait wherever you're going. Like, don't get in trouble, but I'm hearing that's a pretty great one.
Yeah, well, they do conch fritters. I'm not. I don't know much about conch.
I have no idea.
I know you can eat conch fritters, so they're getting them from somewhere legally. I think there's a type of queen conchs or something like that that is protected. I'm not speaking on behalf of the rules, but I feel like there's...
Yeah.
Some kind you can't harvest and some kind you can't.
I feel that's kind of like the goldfish and bass deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highly illegal, but.
All right. I'll take these off if y'all got anything you want to say. How about chubs?
Like, that's a good. Yeah.
Yeah.
They use them a lot in the upper Tampa Bay.
Yeah. And you can net them and you can fish them in brackish water. You
caught many
bass
on chubs.
Bass.
Yes.
And redfish like them too. I've heard. Yep.
Parrotfish.
Is that legal?
I've never once used a parrotfish for bait.
A snook will kill a parrotfish out of spite.
So
yeah,
I used a parrotfish one time. Caught a snook. The parrotfish was still on there. Hooked it back up. Caught another snook on the dead one.
Think I got a new snook bait.
Yeah. And I think when we're slaying parrotfish, what we're describing
it's
not
an actual parrotfish. It's like a it's
I'm not even gonna say what it's called because it's not show appropriate. It's a slippery is what they call them.
Slippery what?
A slippery
Richard. Slick Richard.
Slick Rick.
Slick Richard.
I had Bahara. I had minnows. Like I don't even know what they are, but minnows like you catch specks on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in Florida we call them specks. They're crappy to everybody else in the world.
Yeah, minnows. They're just minnows.
Crappy.
But we call them minnows for catfish.
I treaded on that one a little bit.
Catfish.
Half a catfish.
My uncle Randy Knowles in Tampa Bay does all the Jewfish charters.
That's right.
He loves catfish for Jewfish, but they're a great tarpon bait.
Stingrays.
You chunk them up.
Stingrays too.
Blue runners. We didn't mention because none of us are really offshore guys.
Right. It's like a Speedo. I mean,
If you can keep them alive, thread fins.
Yep.
That was the one I did not pick.
And you can cut. I mean, thread fins as a cut that's, bait or a big time.
I can't
tarpon
believe
bait.
I can't believe I left that one out. That's my number one tarpon bait in Tampa.
M alluded to it. Red wrigglers, wigglers, whatever they're called.
Wrigglers.
The little earthworms that you put on a hook and you hook them one time and they go nuts and you catch bluegills and shell crackers and stuff.
All right, that's it. That's our live bait draft. Do you feel like you did well?
No. I can't wait to hear myself. How did I do that?
Do you feel like you did well?
No, I think I did well. Pretty solid.
I think I won, although I'm surrounded by the masters.
Oh, you mean like that? Like I did
yeah.
well.
Wow. How did you draft? Yeah. How did you draft?
How
did
I draft?
Draft?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I picked Shiner. Not Shiner, but white bait. So I won. I mean, Southwest Florida is nothing but...
I can get by without white bait.
I can't.
I can too.
I can't.
Although epic days
like
usually
to.
Start with white bait.
Yes.
I don't like to, but I can.
A sure day starts with something else. An epic day starts with white bait.
There's nothing like throwing 50 shiners out and watching 25 snook eat them, and then you throw a bait in and it just...
The problem is, I think that's moved to Tampa, and I feel like down south, that's the chunking a million baits days are behind us. Which is why cut bait is a more...
Well, that's why you bite the tail off on them.
Yeah, I do that.
Oh, me too. Lauren hates me for that.
It's time for Keep and Release.
Nate, what's your release?
My release is our soundboard.
Praise.
The one that we use every week to record a podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, it's on the fritz.
It's possessed.
Yeah, you can hear us go in and out.
You if you ever hear an episode to where like one of us is really low and the other one's like super loud, it's because of our board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And boards ain't cheap.
No.
Nope.
So we're working on it. We're gonna get it. We can't fix it, but we're gonna get it replaced. But that's a good release.
Yeah.
That explains to some people too while we have
it's annoying to like stop in the middle of the recording and be like, oh, you're going out. Oh, mm-hmm. let me look. Yeah. And it's annoying.
I'm sure it's annoying to people listening too.
Yeah.
I can start a GoFundMe account for you.
Yeah.
If you want me to.
Oh, there we go. Awesome.
Yeah.
There we go.
They're really like in the grand scheme of things, not that expensive. A couple hundred bucks, but we have children and
college
to feed and things such as.
And duck season coming up.
That's true. What about you, Em?
My release this week is, oh my gosh, you guys, I've been telling you about this program I've been doing since January 15th called 80 Day Obsession, the Beachbody program, and I am done, finished, 80 days, boom,
what's
done.
It called?
80 Day Obsession.
Has she mentioned that?
What's that?
I hate you guys what? So much.
How many days?
How many times have you guys started working out over the past 80 days and then stopped?
Probably 7.
Uh-huh. So I have not missed one workout. It's 6 workouts every week. They're an hour apiece. Nutrition has been on point. I'm so much stronger. I've put on lean muscle. I'm very happy with myself.
You do. You look like $1 million.
But I'm also like, that's over. Because that was a huge
commitment. Are you ready to revisit alcohol and chocolate?
Can I tell you I'm really nervous to start drinking again?
Sure.
I am. Because I realize how much more present I am. I don't. It's not a crutch for me when I come home from work. I don't just like pour a glass of wine and go to bed. So I don't know. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do there.
But you do have a happy hour planned for the day 81
with pizza. So that's going to happen. What's your release, Chav?
Okay. So I've gone through my captain's license renewal and now I have to do my guide's license renewal, which the guide's license is essentially your fishing license. You buy a fishing license that covers the anglers on your boat.
Is that the 6-pack?
No.
This
is
different.
This is basically I can't explain it differently. It's the fishing license for the people. The 6-pack is your captain's license, your Coast Guard license.
Okay.
This is the FWC license.
So whoever's on your boat is covered.
For fishing.
Right.
And you can't do it online.
What?
You have to go to a tax collector's office.
Are you kidding me?
And no one at the tax collector's office understands what it is. And you go through this every year. Like it's a surprise to them every time you go. And you go in there with your captain's license and your paperwork and your previous year's guide's license. They could look it up. And I just don't understand. I don't understand why you can't just put your Merchant Mariner credentials, your captain's license credentials in online and buy this sucker. Like, it seems like it should be foolproof.
They got to have a database of that somewhere, right?
Right. It seems like I should be able to put the old number in and say, I want to renew this. And they say, oh, wait, your captain's license is expired or it's not and you could buy it. Anyway, that's my release. It's fine. It'll get through it. But this is a huge complaint in the guide community. Like, we commiserate about this issue because it's a pain in the rear.
Sorry about that, buddy.
Keep.
Yeah. Captains for Clean Water is my keep.
Good call.
That's awesome.
So if you don't know about this organization, it's a bunch of captains of the state of Florida who are essentially fighting for clean water and trying to educate the public about Lake Okeechobee discharges and other problems, fertilizer runoff.
Septic
leaks, things that are polluting our waters in Florida.
And polluting our estuaries and damaging seagrass. They're damaging water quality. They're
killing fish.
There's beliefs that it's linked to red tide. There's beliefs that it's linked to a lot of stuff.
Right,
so.
Right. So I'm really a big fan of that organization. And we mentioned it last week with the Florida Skiff Challenge because they're raising money for that. But I wanted to like really take specific keep and talk about the Captains for Clean Water.
And our buddies Ty and Weiler and Tim from Florida Fishing Products, they're super
super involved in that.
Involved in that, and they've kind of gotten us involved a little bit. And I'm wary of nonprofits. So when we talk about a nonprofit like Backcountry Hunters and Anglers or Captains for Clean Water, it's because we feel like
they're legit. They're
I'm willing to give them my money because I trust them.
Right.
So, and that's saying something. What about you, Em?
All right, my keep this week is a new app that I found. It's called, I don't think I've done this on the show before, the Cake app.
Nope.
Okay, I'm going to show it to you. It's a little bit girly looking, but hang in there with me.
You're showing this to our listeners?
I'm showing it to Nate because he's going to help me describe it.
Okay.
So it's a new internet browser for your phone. Okay, so you open the Cake app and you can search for stuff just like you would in Safari.
Right.
I'm going to search Captains for Clean Water because that's what we were just talking about. Okay. And what it does is it loads the search results off the Google page in a tabbed format, like horizontally. So you can actually scroll through all the results like this.
Oh, okay. I get it.
This is riveting radio.
Instead of clicking the links that you would see on a Google search result,
it brings
page
up the web page of each of the links.
Exactly.
So you're looking, yeah. So you're looking at the web page instead of looking at a bunch of links.
Yeah, and you can just swipe left until you find the page
and
you're
all
looking
the,
for.
Yeah, pages can pop up.
And it's just, and see, it opens up YouTube.
That's a YouTube of a
hot girl in a
fishing
bikini. That's what I look like after 80 Day Obsession. No, it's Anne.
She's pro staff.
I'm Taco Bell pro staff. Anyways, I just love this app. I think it's a really,
That's really cool,
innovative way to do internet searches. It's called Cake K. Wait, it's called Cake C A K E. So go download it and check it out.
What is it with misspelling of recipes on this episode?
I'm telling you.
My Keep is a new podcast. It's called It Pays to Fish.
Okay. You're keeping an outdoor podcast.
Yeah, and you know that I hate.
Most of them. You hate most of them.
And I don't hate them because I'm also the guy that encourages everybody to do their household.
Right, right.
So I don't want to sound like I'm that guy. I am, however, skeptical of the quality. Like, we've made fun of our board, but we really push hard to do good quality. We try to cut the uhs out. And
right.
If you talk to us in person, we sound way dumber than we do on this show, thanks to Emily. So I like.
Wait, I don't make you sound dumber.
No, you make us sound smarter.
The way that came
we sound
out
way dumber in real life.
Not.
We sound pretty dumb right
but
now.
But here's the idea. Like, I feel like when we tease about Florida sportsmen and stuff, fishing the dock lights for snook, they're adding to the noise. Right. There, at some point, there's so many articles out there about it, you don't really know what the good one is or the bad one. So, It Pays to Fish podcast is the girl doing it. Her name is Angie Scott. And I was super skeptical because she's in Nashville and her company is called No Bananas Outfitters. And I'm like, come on, how is somebody in Nashville going to be able to talk about this stuff? But she's super polished. She's obviously done her homework and knows what she's talking about. She's educated. She's informed.
Mm-hmm.
She makes for an informed host. And she does interviews. She had one of the Salt Strong guys on. So it's a different format show than what we do.
Okay.
We don't do a lot of interviews. But anyway, check it out. It Pays to Fish podcast with Angie Scott. I think they've got they've got 11 episodes out at the time of this recording. So
all right.
It's worth a listen. Listen to ours first. That's always our precursor, right? If we recommend a podcast, make sure you're listening to ours, but give her a check out. Check her out.
Give her a check out.
Give her a checkout. She's not a cashier at Publix.
Self-checkout, maybe?
Hand her a coupon.
And that is the end of episode 32.
Bam.
Stay woke.
So stay woke.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.